beginning again. The title of my talk today is The Toxic Triad of the 20th Century. That's hard to say two or three times. And that's refined sugar, refined flour, refined oils. So there was a Cleveland dentist named Dr. Weston A. Price. Anybody heard of Dr. Weston A. Price? No? Okay. Well, he was also very concerned about these new manufactured foods because as a dentist, he was noticing right away people were coming in with a ton of cavities. People were coming in with facial deformities. They weren't very politically correct in the early 1900s, meaning that they had crooked teeth, they needed braces, they didn't have room for their wisdom teeth because they didn't have enough facial development. How many people had braces and retainers in here? Me too. How many people had their wisdom teeth pulled? Me too. Wasn't so true in our grandparents' time. And so he began to wonder what is happening. Dr. Weston A. Price was born in 1870, died in 1948. So he and his wife, Florence, in the 1930s, made an anthropological study. They went around to 14 cultures around the world in the summer in the 1930s. And for 10 years, they went to all of these different cultures, primitive peoples, people that weren't going to the local grocery store and buying white bread and sugar and et cetera. He went to see Alaskan Eskimos, New Zealand Maoris, Swiss villagers, Australian Aborigines, American Indians, Peruvian Indians, people in the windswept Scottish Isles, all of these areas. And being a dentist, what did he do? He took a new invention, a camera from the 1800s had just been developed, and he took pictures of their teeth. And he found that all of these cultures, they had all 32 teeth. They had room for all their teeth. They weren't crooked. They didn't need braces or retainers. They had almost virtually no cavities, like less than 1%. No cavities at all. And even more striking, they were very happy and contented people. Some cultures didn't even have names for anxiety or depression in their group. And cancer, heart disease, diabetes, non-existent in these peoples. So what did these people eat? Well, he had originally gone out around to take this anthropological study trying to find a healthy vegetarian culture, and he completely failed. There were no healthy vegetarians. They all ate meat, seafood, fat. In fact, they really prized the organ meat, the liver, the heart, the kidneys, the fat, the skin, the bones. No skinless, boneless chicken breast on a salad, you know, for them, because they knew that that's where the nutrients were. In fact, in the mid-20th century, our mothers cook chicken and liver, chicken and onions every week, chicken livers, right? You remember that in World War II and afterwards? Why did you want to cook chicken and liver and onions every week? Because the liver was full of vitamin A and D and B12 and iron and even coenzyme Q10. Liver is a health food. So being a nutritionist as well as a dentist, Dr. Weston A. Price, he calculated how much fat and how many minerals these healthy indigenous cultures were eating compared to Americans in the 1930s and 40s. And he found that these people had 4 times the minerals in their diet and 10 to 25 times the fat. And I'm talking saturated fat from meat, pork fat, beef fat. So Price published his famous book, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, in 1939, and it's been hailed as the premier nutrition textbook ever since. And I brought it with me today, and I'll hand it out in a little while. However, he found that these same groups that he came back every summer and kept studying, within one generation of a grocery store moving into an island, or people, a new road going in, and so they were able to get to a grocery store and eat what he called the displacing foods of modern commerce, meaning you weren't absorbing your vitamins and minerals and important nutrients. the children started manifesting the cavities, the malocclusions, the emotional issues, etc. Other developmental abnormalities. And in fact, his colleague, Dr. Francis Pottinger's cats, anybody heard of this? He was a fascinating medical doctor in California, and he did research on cats. And he did the same thing with cats, feeding one group really good food, one group, more modern foods. And he, the third generation of cats didn't survive over 6 weeks, the kittens. Didn't survive. These cats were well taken care of, Barb. I'm a cat person too. But it was a fascinating study, and it's just too bad we didn't listen to him back then in the 30s and 40s. In fact, a lot of my colleagues, a lot of us that got into holistic health years ago, we were trying to heal ourselves, you know, because we had our issues too. And I remember so many of my colleagues, we used to refer to ourselves, it's a very common expression, we're third generation cats. Depending on your parents, how much real butter and eggs and meat they had, or your grandparents, when did they start going to the grocery store so much versus eating real food? So more recently, 23 years ago, in 1999, Sally Fallon Morrell began the Weston A. Price Foundation, and it's located in Washington, D.C., but it's since become an international group, and it has chapters all over the world. In our area, Kristen Files in Round Rock is the chapter leader. We have yearly conferences every year. It costs $40 to join, and you get a fabulous four journals in print in the mail four times a year. We had a great conference in November in Allen, Texas. We had 1,300, 1,400 people there. Bobby Kennedy spoke. All these luminaries were there. It was just amazing. So I'm going to pass out a handout later, and I'd love y'all to look into this and join our group. The yearly conferences, we're West Coast, East Coast, and Central, and we vary each place. I think next year is Florida. And it's an amazing conference because you learn just as much from the speakers as you do from all the vendors. Because the vendors are there talking about how they ferment their cod liver oil or how long they soak their nuts to reduce the phytotoxins. It's fantastic. So we call this Weston A. Price Foundation diet the Wise Traditions Diet because, again, it's anthropologically based. We're saying that based on earlier peoples, based on my grandmother or my grandfather, who much, you know, pretty robust and strong people. Now, remember that they were really healthy when they were eating good food, good fat. Now remember, our grandparents and our great-grandparents, unless they're extremely wealthy, often didn't have indoor toilets, right? My mother, in 1915, she was born, and at the first few years, they had an outdoor toilet in South Carolina. And then they had regular toilets. But it wasn't until the 1950s that the poorest state in the country, Mississippi, had all indoor toilets. So that wasn't that long ago that we've had this amazing plumbing and we can take a shower every day in our bathroom. I mean, it's pretty incredible that we have these spas in our own house. So so even though our grandparents and sometimes even parents didn't have the hygiene that we enjoy today, they were much more robust than current generations than we are. So the question is, how did we get so turned around? How did we lose this information? We were told in the, you know, when I was growing up, when y'all were growing up, we were told worry about fat and cholesterol, right? That those are toxic, reduce, don't eat beef, don't eat too much beef, you know, reduce your eggs, eat lean meat. That's what we were told. Plant-based diet, vegetarianism is good. A lot of us tried it, couldn't stay with it, but, you know, that was the righteous thing to do. So to do that, we're going to need to compare Dr. Price, a hero of the 20th century, with the zero of the 20th century. Now, this is one of the most dishonest individuals with blood on his hands of the 20th century. not Hitler, not Mussolini, not Stalin. I mean, I don't mean to make light of those murderous dictators, but some of these scientists with unchecked power, as we've noticed since 2020 in this country, can do unbelievable damage. So the name of this man, who, by the way, was Time Magazine of the Year in January of 1961, was Ansel Keys. Ansel Keys. Heard of K rations in World War II?
Right.
From Ansel Keys. He was a nutritionist, he studied starvation, and he's the one that formulated K rations in World War II. But he was a biologist and a pathologist at the University of Minnesota. He was a very influential, powerful, and intelligent man. Some colleagues called him ruthless and arrogant as well. So Keyes and his wife also took an anthropological trip. Keyes and his wife went around the world. And they went to South Africa, Sardinia, Sweden, Spain, Italy, etc., and measured people's cholesterol level in the blood and their fat content in their diet. And from these studies, he found the opposite of Dr. Weston A. Price. He taught and found that saturated fat from meat, eggs, and dairy cause heart disease. They cause heart disease. Now remember, what is cholesterol? It's that yellow, waxy substance that is a vital component of every cell membrane, very important in the phospholipid membrane of every one of our 50 trillion cells. Garbage in, nutrients out. Cholesterol is very important, plus it's responsible for the metabolism of our sex hormones. So we need cholesterol. But anyway, Dr. Keyes presented this new diet heart hypothesis. We've all heard of this, right? In 1952 at Mount Sinai in New York, and he had graphs from his research that showed that the more saturated fat and meat you ate, the more heart disease increased. President Eisenhower, Texas man, y'all know Eisenhower was from Texas? Yeah. Well, poor Eisenhower had his first heart attack in 1955, and his doctor was heavily influenced by the famous Ansel Keys. So Eisenhower started eating margarine on Melba toast. Go down memory lane, y'all remember Melba toast? I mean, there's no nutrients in margarine, too, you know, for breakfast. And then he died in 1969. President Eisenhower, he had had 14 cardiac arrests and 7 heart attacks. I don't think the low-fat diet was good for him. So what was the problem with Dr. Key's research? What did he do? He only included 6 countries in his chart that fit what he wanted to have it fit. And the actual statistics on fats ingested and deaths came from 22 countries, but he only included the 6. Nor did he factor in the smoking of the groups, nor did he factor in consumption of sugar. It was really sloppy research. So the question is, how did this specious research become the law of the land? You know, my father had 10 heart attacks. Amanda was right with me by his side, and he was told not to ever eat beef. Thank God he loved steak. I think it kept him going a long time. But how did this low-fat, lean meat diet become so popular?
Money.
Big food corporations and their lackeys, medical organizations, love this study. And again, Ansel Keys was spreading this information, and he was a very well-known and respected doctor. So, for example, the American Heart Association. It was founded in 1924 at the outset of the heart disease epidemic. We got to remember, in the 1800s, there wasn't hardly any heart disease. There wasn't hardly any cancer. Isn't that amazing? This all started in the 20th century. So Procter & Gamble, in 1948, gave the American Heart Association $2 million. In money nowadays, that's $17 million. From the profit of Procter & Gamble's show, Truth or Consequences, radio show, which later was a TV show. Remember that, Truth or Consequences? So they were very happy to promote this, Procter & Gamble, because what fat did they create in 1911?
Crisco. Crisco. Remember Crisco, the can, saturated, toxic fat. And they really propagated this, and, you know, lots of commercials on the Modern Woman. My mother used it. My mother worked and raised children. You know, she loved it. We also had butter, though, but still. And Procter & Gamble tried to promote the idea that the modern woman is so happy with Crisco, and the old-fashioned woman uses butter and lard. So that was their plan. Soon, the American Heart Association cardiologists and other doctors and scientists were promoting the use of these vegetable oils, and they received millions of dollars in support from the big food companies that manufactured these oils. A little aside here, by the way, you can tell the American Heart Association is not my favorite organization. What else the American Heart Association did is they paired with the American Dental Association in the 1950s, and they started promoting that if you had ever had a little bit of heart issue or an abnormal EKG or anything on your records, you had to take antibiotics before the dental office. You had to take antibiotics after you when you went to the dentist, after you got cleaning or drilling or anything. Everyone did, not with a significant history of heart disease, just a little bit. Well, guess what? The American Heart Association, after 50 years of this being their plan, in 2015, after researching this, they stopped because it caused more harm than good. Oh, well, thank you. No apology, no nothing for all the gut dysbiosis and all the harm that antibiotics taken this way can do. Now, it's still true for significant heart conditions like endocarditis or the first 2 years after a joint implant. But,
They also recommended during after a valve replacement.
Yeah, exactly. More significant. But all the people that had minor heart issues or ever had any kind of diagnosis, we don't have to take it anymore, so be sure and check that. Okay, the toxic fats and oils. We already talked about Crisco shortening. Mazola corn oil, remember that? This is memory lane. Mazola corn oil, Fleischmann's margarine, very popular. Most of these fats and oils were made from cottonseed oil. Cotton is the most pesticided crop in the world. Rapeseed or canola oil. Rapeseed is from genetically modified linseed combined with rapeseed or canola, the canola plant. What does canola stand for? Canada, our friends from the north. It's the number one oil used in restaurants nowadays. Cottonseed. Cottonseed was what was used in the in Crisco, and then but canola oil, as well as corn oil, soy oil, safflower oil, sunflower oil, soybeans, all of those things, they're very common. But canola oil, Canada has made this canola oil. They have a great advertising and marketing department, because you go to any restaurant now and ask what's your cooking oil, and it's often canola oil, which is highly toxic. So we know that Crisco, by the way, remember the big cans, the fat, that's a hydrogenated oil where they're infusing hydrogen in and making it into a hard fat. And it's got a longer shelf life, but it's toxic. It's a trans fat. We remember trans fats years ago. They were banned in restaurants in New York. Everybody knows that now. Other companies jumped on, Frito-Lay, General Mills, Pillsbury, Carnation. All of these companies loved to promote these oils and trans fats, though, in the mid-20th century, late 20th century, even now, claiming that they were safe and healthy. And consumers were advised to replace their butter with margarine or Crisco and to choose vegetable fats over our lard, duck fat, or coconut oil. Saturated fats. Now, Ansel Keys and his colleagues were a little concerned about the fact that no civilization in the world had ever consumed vegetable oils, ever. Should I repeat that? No one in the world has ever consumed vegetable oils until the 20th century. But, you know, there's no anthropological history or evidence like with Dr. Price, with his primitive cultures that for centuries had thrived, beautiful people, expansion of the cranium, perfect teeth. But he decided to go ahead and popularize it anyway. So much for the morals of some of our scientists. So what happened when vegetable oils and fats, these toxic vegetable oils and toxic fats became predominant? Heart disease, cancer, diabetes skyrocketed. Remember in 1971, Nixon, you know, they were giving millions, billions to win the war on cancer. Not winning the war on cancer, because people are still demonizing our natural foods for these manufactured foods. But they sure do make a lot of money. So it's important to remember again our history. You know, in the early 1900s, Amanda and I love history. We're always reading history books, et cetera. It's just so fascinating to see where we were and how we are now. In the early 1900s, there were only like 3 or 4 autoimmune disease that were identified. Only 3 or 4. So now there's over 150 autoimmune diseases. Toxic drugs, toxic foods are the cause. But there was like Hashimoto's, thyroiditis, there was Crohn's disease in the gut. But it was very rare to have an autoimmune disease. There were, as I said, there was hardly any heart disease in the 1800s. It was very rare, and then again skyrocketed with the rise of these toxic oils. A famous Swedish doctor, Uffe Ravenskoff, wrote a book in 2000 called Cholesterol Myths. Cholesterol Myths, we all bought that years ago to disprove Key's claims. In fact, Uffe ate 8 eggs a day. Remember when we weren't supposed to eat eggs? He ate eggs, 8 eggs a day, measured his cholesterol, and his cholesterol went down. Why? Because 80% of cholesterol is made in the liver, and the body's gonna balance itself. It's into homeostasis. So if you take in more cholesterol, it just won't produce as much from the liver. Body seeks constant balance. Anybody remember Nathan Pritikin, the Pritikin diet?
Yes.
Yeah, I was always trying to lose that extra 10, 15 pounds or so with the Pritikin diet. Well, he was a very popular nutritionist, low fat, really espoused low fat, you know. Meat on bun, we didn't even do the bun, right? Hamburgers and no oil. And anyway, he popularized his low-fat diet to lose weight. Nathan Pritikin committed suicide because he was suffering with leukemia at the end of his life. Now, if you read Wikipedia, and we know that Wikipedia has been doing cancel culture and censoring information for years now, if you read Wikipedia, they say, hey, but when he died, his arteries were clear on autopsy. Wow. So what? He died of cancer and severe depression because he realized that he was wrong. Remember the Framingham study. Am I saying that right? Framingham, Massachusetts. Famous study in 1948, 5,000 men and women submitted to getting heart tests, comprehensive physicals, etc., every 2 years to see if fat caused heart disease, saturated fat. In 1961, they announced that high cholesterol was a reliable predictor of heart disease. However, 30 years later, a reanalysis of the data found no relationship. So again, specious data that changed the world. For how many people do you know who have died of heart attacks, etc., listening to this low-fat BS? In fact, the data found that there was really no relationship between 205 and 264. And as many of you know, on your blood test, on your lab values, nowadays they're saying 170, 180. They keep lowering the standards so they can sell more statin drugs, which are horribly dangerous drugs. The men who had cholesterol in the mid-range, 183 to 222, had a greater risk of heart attack than those with a higher cholesterol level, 222 to 261. I know, unbelievable, right? We certainly didn't hear that. Of course, this wasn't announced on the front page of every paper, and nowadays, as you know, when you get your blood test, now they've shifted the conversation over to cholesterol subfractions, HDL, LDL, etc., which are a little confusing and I think, minimally helpful. Another honest scientist and researcher, Dr. George Mann, spent 2 years collecting data, and in 1960, he found that he very clearly proved that saturated fats from meat and cholesterol were not related to heart disease. After that whole century, and continues today. Don't eat a lot of saturated fat. Don't eat a lot of meat. Don't eat a lot of fat. You'll get heart disease. It'll, mess up the arteries. It's not true. But Dr. Mann, who was a very honest man and a colleague of Ansel Keys, but not his friend, he said that went over like a wet blanket with his superiors at NIH, right? Fauci's NIH, et cetera. And so his scientific articles were barred from American Heart Association journals, such as Circulation, and his influence was canceled. His long-term research grant was canceled. And Dr. Mann explained, you would have to understand what a forceful and persuasive person Ansel Keys was. He could talk to you for an hour and you would utterly believe everything he said. So we've known these men in history, right, that are very charismatic, that can change the world or start a war. Anyway, Dr. Mann wrote that the heart mafia had supported the dogma for generations on heart disease, but it was really more political than scientific. Again, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Sound familiar nowadays, right? So, in summary, meat, butter, fat, gravy, sauces, all got falsely condemned in the 20th century as causative of heart attack, strokes, diabetes, fatty liver, cancer, and our much maligned kitchen staples from our parents and grandparents became the enemy. And these manufactured vegetable oils that are made, again, I feel a little naked here without a PowerPoint, and I'll redirect you to great PowerPoints and videos on this subject. But if you ever see a plant, Sally Fallon has this when she explains the Wise Traditions diet, and that's on video. If you ever see one of these processing plants where they make canola oil or safflower oil or organic sunflower oil, it looks like a petroleum refinery. This is huge petroleum refinery looking place. These oils, they're crushed, they're heated 4 to 5 times, they're chemically alkalinized, they're bleached, they're deodorized, they're steamed, and then they're bottled. And they look golden yellow and they smell clean because they've been deodorized. Sally Fallon Morrell, who again started the Weston A. Price Foundation many years ago, she's got a great video on, she does the first day of the conference every year, she does her whole history on this subject, and she's got a picture of this kind of gray rectangular piece of fat sitting on a dish. She's saying, what is this? It's margarine before it's been colored and deodorized. That's what it really looks like. All right, so Amanda, would you mind? So now let's move to the handout. I brought y'all a handout, a little brief summary. So I wanted to mention, too, a little bit on the keto diet and the paleo diet. Because I know you guys are, a lot of you are on keto and paleo. Keto is very good. That's fat and meat and protein. And, Meryl Streep in the 1990s made the keto diet famous because, remember, she had the child, and a lot of epileptics have done very well on a keto diet, a high-fat protein diet, hardly any, if any at all, carbohydrates. Now, in practice, if that works great for you, excellent. In practice, some people find that a little stressful because when there's no carbohydrates in the diet, the liver has to break down glycogen stores to make more glucose to increase a normal blood sugar level. So some people can't do that strict a fat and protein diet. But it's a good one. Now, another big question is paleo. Everybody's heard of paleo. What's in a name? Well, they were smart. They copied us years ago. At first, they were low fat. So then they changed it, and they're pretty close to us now. But they never have included how to prepare carbohydrates properly. So as you can see, the problem at the top of the page, the toxic triad, and then the solution is our diet is a high fat, a moderate protein, and carefully prepared carbohydrates. How to cook them. Like in the South, you know, when you had hard greens is what they call kale and mustard greens and collard greens. The maid of my mother in South Carolina, she used to pour hot boiling water over collard greens before she'd even cook them. You want to cook those. You don't want them raw. You don't want raw kale or anything because you can't digest them. It's good to cook them so you really receive the nutrients like you should. Okay, so number one, we already talked about this, cook with saturated fat. I find duck fat is the most popular. It's a little lighter than lard, but I tend to just switch duck fat and lard. Those are my two favorite. You can also do red palm oil, coconut oil. Red palm oil can be junky. You want to get it from a sustainable source. A good red palm oil is on my website. You can see it there. You can just go to Wildly Organic and order it there. This is the biggest thing. Begin to never, if you can, use manufactured vegetable oils. They're high in inflammatory omega-6. All of those, they easily break down to aldehydes. What? The most famous aldehyde, formaldehyde. Now, olive oil, probably wondering. Olive oil is a monounsaturated fat. That's why it's been so popular in the Mediterranean, because it doesn't break down as easily. But there's a reason that they sell it in those dark green bottles, right? Because we're not supposed to heat it. So use it only cold as a salad dressing or sprinkling on vegetables. And Amanda and I go to Scratch Kitchen a lot. We were just saying we asked the waiter to ask the chef to get a clean pan, pour some olive oil in it. It's all, you know, again, it's the best. At least it's better than canola oil, and make our fish in that pan. And he does. So we need to start educating these people. But at home, try not to use olive oil. Try to use a saturated fat that doesn't break down. No. Again, now this sounds a little inconsistent of me, but if you go back to that first paragraph, cook only with saturated fats. Ghee has already been heated. It doesn't seem to break down at low or moderate temperatures. Like if you're going to cook an egg, you cook it very slow on low temperatures. Ghee seems to be okay. But now, again, this is my testing too. I do energetic testing like kinesiology, but it's a little different. The Weston A. Price Foundation, they may say yes to butter. So this is my take, and I find that ghee would be better if you wanted to use that, but I don't use butter because I find it heats too fast. Second thing on the next page, very important, which I hadn't mentioned. Unfortunately, food allergies are really common now. We grew up with all these manufactured foods, many of us, and a lot of us have a food allergy. And secondly, unfortunately, dairy's worse than gluten, in my experience. So gluten isn't hard. There's quinoa and amaranth and all these great substitutes, right? And pasta and bread, etc. Plus, a lot of high-quality sourdough bread is still digestible, even by those who think they have a gluten allergy. Dairy is harder, but we have a goat ghee that's very good, which is 99% casein-free. Casein is the protein in dairy. That makes the dairy so delicious and fatty, and that's what we crave, you know? So we have this expression V and R at the top, variety and rotation. You were talking, Barb, about getting your vegetables, etc., from food, the food place.
Farm box,
yeah. You know, we go to the grocery store and we buy the same thing over and over again, right? It's hard not to be in a rut. Now, in earlier centuries, we lived more in community where we'd have cooks and different things every night, more, you know, but it's hard to go to the store and buy different things. But it's important to do a lot of variety and rotation. So those of us who are allergic to gluten or allergic to dairy, and if you go to my website, the elimination challenge test is what you do. 2 weeks with no dairy, and then you eat it and you see if you feel better without it, worse with it. So nowadays, most of us do have some kind of a significant allergy, and it's worth it to do an elimination challenge test to see if that's your issue. But if you are, for example, you can have goat ghee, and in the future you can do variety and rotation with grass-fed butter and goat ghee. You can do Parmesan on your Caesar salad Friday night. You know, you can do it. You just can't buy a jar of you know, organic cottage cheese and eat it Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, because those T cells in the thymus, they're going to remember your childhood. When, like me, if some of you had strep throat and colds and sore throats and antibiotics and all that, you developed a sensitivity to that pasteurized milk that you were being given. And that tonsil focal infection lays dormant inside. And even though you may not have strep throat anymore, you can still have a predominant dairy allergy. And the way to heal it is just to start eating well and detoxing. Again, there's that never eat, number three, never eat skinless, boneless chicken breast again.
All right, why?
Because the natives would often throw away the muscle meat. They would throw away the muscle meat because it didn't have the fat soluble activators, vitamin A, D, and K2, to fully digest and assimilate those nutrients. So look at all those different meats I've got there. Turkey, chicken, goat, buffalo, duck, lamb, fish, shellfish, quail, gravy, sauces, meat broth, stocks, etc. So all of that is important to really digest the food, like tribal leaders would give the muscle meat to the younger people, and they would save the liver and the heart and the kidneys for themselves. So, top of the next page, don't drink protein powders. They're all toxic. Again, if you ever watch Sally Fallon's Introduction to the Wise Traditions Diet, she'll show you this big machine. And you go, it just says, what is this machine? It's this huge machine with these trays. It's a cereal extruder. We don't ever see that when we look at Special K and all these cereals at the store. It's a cereal extruder where they take the grain and they heat it and flatten it, and finally you come out with Cheerios. And it looks fine, but it's really denatured, devitalized, and toxic cereal. Same thing with protein powders. I don't care what it is or if it's organic. Now, I have some excellent sources for meat, as well as you can, you know, go to natural grocers, or HEB has good quality. And by the way, I have this handout that is linked to the website, so you can email me, or maybe Myrna can send that out, so that's easy, where it's got the links to it at home, digital version. So all those are digital. Honey and pure maple syrup, organic fruits and vegetables, fermented foods daily in your diet. You know, everybody thinks about fermented food, they think of yogurt. Yogurt's very allergenic. I don't care how many good bacteria it has in it if you have a dairy allergy. Don't forget pickles, olives, salami. Those are all fermented too. Those are easy to pop in during the day. Also at the Wise Traditions Diet, again, we don't eat dry cereal, the cereal extruder. It's toxic, it's indigestible. If you can make homemade nut milks, and we soak and detoxify all our seeds and grains and nuts. So plants don't have legs. They can't run from danger. Animals can. So what do plants do? They produce toxins in their roots and stems, so that animals and deer can't eat them all and they survive. Now, how do you reduce that? You soak in a little warm water and lemon juice or salt. You soak that, you ferment that nut or that seed or your oatmeal in the morning or quinoa or whatever you're eating. And you, I, again, the Weston A. Price, they suggest 8 hours of soaking. In my testing, I do disagree a little bit with this. I find only 2 hours. You only need to soak the nuts that you're going to eat or the grains about 2 hours, and then pour off the water, and then you can crisp the nuts in the oven, or you can make nut milk, or you can go ahead and cook your grains, and you are getting the very best nutrients in there because you've mitigated the phytotoxins. Here's some resources. Weston A. Price Foundation, last page. There's Kristen Files in Round Rock. We have groups once in a while. And I brought a little show and tell. Here is Weston A. Price's book. Don't you love a well-used book? When I was writing my book, can we pass that around, Amanda? When I was writing my book, I used it a lot, referenced it a lot. Now here's an earlier, I mean a recent version of Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. I'll just pass this around. Look at the pictures of these smiling, happy people, and then when their parents start going to the store and buying toxic food, the next generation, crooked teeth, unhappy, etc. So this is a fascinating book. That's Dr. Price's Bible. Here is Sally Fallon's book, again, cookbook. Yeah, Sally Fallon's Nourishing Traditions book. It's really cute because, first of all, for those born in, you know, all the different countries we come from, Europe, Middle East, Eastern Asia, etc., she's got the original, you know, we also want to think about your ancestors. Where were they born? Are you eating? Do you do well with borscht because you're from Russia? You do well with certain other, you know, oats because you're from the Scottish Isles, etc. She's got all that information on where you were born and, you know, different historical significance of our ancestral foods that may be good for us. So, again, this book has been used a lot. I'm not the greatest cook in the world, but I try. Now this one reads like Watergate, and it's on here, The Big Fat Surprise, Nina Tickles. She is amazing. Why Butter, Meat, and Cheese Belong in a Healthy Diet. It's a fantastic book. Excellent, excellent book. I'll pass that around. And here's my book, Radical Medicine. I wrote it years ago. Because radical means going to the root. That's why it's got the tree roots on the front cover. And basically, I was trying to make the difference between my colleagues that if a patient comes in who's cold and her hair is dry and she's fatigued, I don't just throw or prescribe thyroid medication to that patient right away. I try to figure out what's going on. Does she have mercury amalgam fillings? Does she have a tonsil focus? Is she eating terribly, what's going on, or he, and fix the root cause versus throwing people on meds. And as many of you know, thyroid medication is prescribed like crazy. Okay, and the very last thing at the bottom, this is your homework. Of course, Sally Fallon has been talking about toxic seed oils and not to eat these manufactured oils for years. But recently, Dr. Chris Nobby, who is an ophthalmologist, has been doing an excellent job of showing that not sugar even, you know, you think sugar is the decline of civilization, it's not good for you, but that it's really the seed oils that's causing so many of these diseases. He's an ophthalmologist. He was saying that, you know, in this video that age-related macular degeneration, AMD, unheard of, 1800s and early 1900s. Again, it's these vegetable oils. The seed oil, the toxic vegetable oils. Yeah, so the very last one, the 45-minute, Dr. Chris Nobby, his graphs are unbelievable. It's excellent, and it really convinces you to the core of your being, I have got to change the oils and the fats, etc. So, in conclusion, as you notice, I hit the oils a lot in this lecture, but how many have heard of refined sugar being a problem? everybody. How many have heard of refined flour, white bread being a problem? Everybody. But these refined oils, they're not as well known. So I really wanted to emphasize that in my talk today. All right, so we have some time.